So do you have a favorite place to connect or maybe reconnect with God? For me, it has been Colorado for many, many years. And so we were vacationing in Colorado a couple of weeks ago, and the very first day in Colorado, I woke up about 6:40. So our kids are fairly trained to not get out of their bed until their alarm goes off. So their alarm was going to go off at 7 o'clock. So they can be in their room and quiet, but they had to be still and in their space until 7. So I woke up at 6:40, and although the bed was comfortable, I wanted to get outside and look at some mountains and spend some time in quiet prayer. So I snuck out of bed, making sure I didn't wake Aaron up, didn't wake our dog up, put on some extra layers because it's actually cold outside in Colorado in the summer, which is wonderful. And so I sneak downstairs, right, as quiet as I can because I don't want to wake anybody up. And I just kind of glance in the kids' rooms to just make sure they're there. And then we've got eye contact. Dad, what are you doing up? So I go in, I say good morning. I'm like, well, I'm going to go sit outside, look at the mountains, and pray quietly. Can we come? Well, I'm going to be like really still and really quiet and just kind of sit. Yeah, we want to come. And just that past week, I had read a devotional that talked about how God often uses our children as kind of holy interruptions. Like the God who's incarnate, right, who comes down and in flesh and blood sometimes comes and reveals God's self to us and our children. And so with that devotional in my mind, I said, all right, this could be a holy interruption. So I put some extra layers on them. We grabbed some blankets and I said, okay, but we're going to go and we're going to spend some time praying, right? And so we sit on this back porch. We're looking out at the beautiful mountains and we are wrapped in our blankets. And at this point, I know we've got 15 minutes, but it's not going to be fully in silence, right? That part is gone. And so I start thinking about, okay, what if we can read the creation story? Growing up, I would go to summer camp in Colorado, and the very first day of that camp, we would always read the creation story. So I pull out my phone, I pull up Genesis 1, and I start reading this creation story to my kids and how God created the heavens and the earth. And God created all the trees that we can see. And then when we got to the part that talks about God creating the birds of the air, there's this hummingbird that was coming to this feeder that would go up about 30 or 40 feet and hover and then just kind of dive down like a World War II fighter pilot. Just dive down to the bird feeder and then go back up and back down. And as I get to the part of reading about the birds, this hummingbird just kind of on cue starts doing this. And my kids start crying out with glee. And there's a small part of me that wants to say, listen to the scripture. But then I realize the kids were interacting with the scripture. And so we finish this creation story and we're looking at this vast creation. I'm reminded that God created it all. All that is seen, all that is unseen, God created it. And then Genesis 1 has forever changed in my mind because after looking at God's creation, I then glanced down at my own creation. And I'm looking at them and saying, this God who created all this has somehow created these two children and then invited me to be a part of this creative process with God. And I know we don't have to have our own biological children, but if we have children or other people in our life, relationships, people we care for, mentor, pour into, God invites us to be a part of that creation story. Have you ever thought about that? That God who creates, God who created all, has invited us to be co-creators with God. To join in this good work that God is doing and creating something new. I was blown away that morning in looking at this creation that I get to participate in. And perhaps that's why I love 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because the Apostle Paul is talking about creation and being a part of creating with God. When we read chapter 3, we are reminded that Paul was a church planter. So Paul had gone to Corinth and he had helped start a church. And then after he had started the church, got it up and going, then Apollos came on to be the next pastor. There starts to be some disagreement. In fact, there's so much disagreement that the apostle Paul calls the Corinthians infants in the faith. He says that y'all are missing the point. You're getting it all wrong. Y'all are acting like babies because you're arguing with one another. So I want you to think back 2,000 years, because humans have really evolved a whole lot within the past 2,000 years. But 2,000 years ago, get this, there was division in the church. And some people were saying, I belong to Paul. And Paul's got his red shirt on, and he's like, oh, this is the way we're doing it. And then other people have their blue shirts on, and they're like, we belong to Apollos. I know it's crazy to think about the church being divided into two parties, but back then, some were saying, I belong to Paul, some Apollos. And then Paul says, you know what? I planted, Apollos watered, but we're not anything. God is the one who makes it grow. It's not really about what I do or about what this other person does, but God is the one who makes it grow. In fact, he goes so far as to say, I'm not anything. So all of a sudden we get this view of humanity as kind of being nothing. Like, I'm not anything because God is the one who makes it grow. But then we get to verse 9. And in verse 9, what it says, we are co-creators with God. Co-workers. In the CEB, the Common English Bible that we just read, it says we are co-workers with God. Have you thought about that? Like, you're a co-worker with God. I don't know if you need the shirt and the hat and the name tag or anything, but you're a co-worker with God. In fact, when we look at the word co-worker, it's the Greek word is synergos. Synergos. Do we have synergy with God? We have the opportunity to have synergy with God, to be working with God, to be creating with God. And as I think about this creator God, I kind of step back and think, wow, God invited us to be co-workers? Because it's a little crazy. God had so many different options when God created, right? God could have created this beautiful world, the mountains and the seas and the trees and the bees, and then said, you know, I'm going to create humanity and they're going to be on these little puppet strings. And I'm going to control every single thing that they do because I want to get this whole creation thing just about perfect. I don't want anything to go wrong. And so God could have created and then taken away our free will. But God didn't do that. God gave us free will. God could have also created and said, you know what, this is pretty good, but I'm God. And the universe is really big, and I'm going to go explore something else. And God could have created and just kind of tossed our world into the universe and left us alone. But we know that this God, who created it all, comes down in flesh and blood in Jesus Christ and says, I want to be in a relationship with these people, with my creation. I want to be a part of their healing, their redemption, the movement forward of humanity. God says, I want to be a part of that, but more importantly, I want to invite my creation to be a co-worker with me. So my question for us this morning is, are we co-workers with God? Do we have synergy with God? Do you have synergy with God in your family, in our church, and in the world? I want you to think about your family for a second. Whether it's your family or your neighbors, your relatives, your co-workers, anybody that you have interpersonal relationship with. See, God loves each person. And God is working in the lives and souls of every single person that you and I interact with. God is working to do something good and something holy to build people up. And the question is, are we co-workers with that? Or do our thoughts and our words and our actions, do those sometimes butt up against the work that God is doing? I mean, sometimes we're short on sleep or our temper just kind of gets a little too much. And when we do that, we're going against the work that God has called us to do. So this week, I wonder if we might look at every single person as kind of a work in progress with God and recognize that God is inviting us to be a part of forming somebody else. Are we co-workers with God in our church? This is an interesting time in the life of Vista Ridge United Methodist Church. We're in a transition from one pastor to the next pastor. And as I am a part of this, and I'm here saying, what is God up to? How can I be a co-worker of you have just God in this? And what I've found is that so many of you have just welcomed me, you've welcomed my family, and you've said, we want you to come on board. We're going to make this as easy as possible, and so many of you have just been so helpful and kind of walking us by the hand and saying, this is what we're doing, and this is the ministry that's going on here, and this is the direction we're going here, and we're becoming co-workers together in what God is doing. Think the youth, when we think about their mission trip in California, right? We had a group of youth and adults that went over to California and said, I'm going to be a co-worker all week. I'm going to build relationships with people whose lives have been just upended. And we're going to rebuild. And we're going to build relationships. And we're going to represent Christ. And so we know that God is always part of the rebuilding effort. Wherever there is pain and devastation, God is part of that rebuilding effort. And so our youth came alongside and said, we want to be co-workers with that. When we think about this school district, we know that there are kids that need socks and underwear as they prepare for school, and this church is doing a collection drive for Salvation Army. We're co-workers because we're joining in the work that God is doing in this community. The new principal at Rockbrook is just arriving, and he's trying to get his feet wet, and he's trying to figure out what is going on in this area. And then thank you, or the welcome cards that you're going to write to him are going to help him know that God is at work in this community. And we are excited to partner with him and to partner with God at the work at Rockbrook Elementary. So what is God up to in your family? What is God up to in our church? And how can we be co-workers in those spaces? But perhaps more importantly, the question is it magnifies itself as we reflect outwards. What is God up to in this world? As we look around the world every once in a while, it's tempting to say, God's not doing much. If we turn on the news, we see a lot of pain and we see a lot of suffering. And every once in a while, we're tempted to say, God, you need to work a little harder. But remember, we're co-workers with God. And so wherever we see pain and suffering, we're called to enter into that. I think about what's going on along our border right now. And there's division, right, and how we approach it. Some people are wearing a red shirt and they're saying, we're going to go this direction. And other people are wearing a blue shirt saying, we're going to go this direction. But I wonder if we as the church might say, remember, it's God that helps all things grow. And we have to say, wherever this pain and suffering is going on right now at the border, what is God up to? What is God doing along the border? And I wonder if we might choose to be co-workers, to see the work that God is doing in that space and in the people there, and then say, okay, God, I want to be a part of this. We might look at the border. We might look at race relations. We might look at human trafficking, at poverty. The list goes on and on. But we believe in a God of resurrection, don't we? A God of hope, a God of redemption, one that says death is never the final word, but I'm a God of redemption is what Jesus says. So we can look at those places where there's deep pain and then ask God what God is up to. Sometimes that's intimidating, but that's our role. When we think about the baptismal vows that you either said as an adult or perhaps you re-said those in confirmation, we ask the question, will you resist evil and injustice and oppression and whatever forms they present themselves? We believe that God is resisting evil, injustice, and oppression. And so therefore, if that's the work that God is doing in our baptismal vows, we say we're going to be a part of resisting with God as well. So we get to team up with God, and whenever we find evil, injustice, and oppression, we get to push against it. So are we co-workers with God in that? As we think about creation and all that is in the world, all the good and the bad, we think about the mountains and the seas and the trees and the wonderful God, creation that God made. Scripture reminds us that God said, it's good. But when God created humanity, God said, it is very good. The God who created it all created humanity and said, humanity is very good. But remember, our story talks about the fall. And we move from very good to kind of being a group of people that are both good and broken at the same time. But God doesn't leave us alone. God invites us to be a part of the redeeming story. And so as the pinnacle of God's creation, we get to come alongside the Creator God and to join in justice and to join in righteousness and to join in healing in all of those places where God invites us. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for inviting us to be co-workers with you. God, sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we just don't really want to work. But you are relentless. Relentless in your love for us, the formation that you have in our own lives, and you are relentless in taking your creation and bringing about healing and bringing about wholeness. So God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us join in the work that you are doing. Help us see, help us hear, and help us move. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.